3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
It's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. Bummer of a ball game last night as the Mariners fall to the Houston Astros 2-1. We'll break it down in just a second here, get reaction from after the ball game as well. But well, it looked like they're on their way again after a thrilling win a couple nights ago. Logan Morrison smashes a giant home run to tie the score, and it looked like they were on their way, but not to be, as Houston gets the win 2-1 this series. Even big game coming up tonight. Asahi Okuma will go to the hills. The Mariners look for the series. That's the goal, to take the series. That's still in play, but they got to get tonight to make that happen before Oakland comes in over the weekend. Yeah, A's won. They beat the White Sox. Detroit won. They beat the Royals. So now the Royals and Tigers are tied in the Central and tied for the second wild card all at the same time. Mariners a half game back of the Royals / Tigers. And the A's now two back of the Oakland A's. So that's where things sit right now. Mariners a chance to gain some ground, but they have to take the series tonight. And then off day Thursday. Meanwhile, Oakland plays tonight. They play the White Sox again. And Thursday, they play in Chicago, and they'll be facing Chris Sale. So that's good news for Mariner fans. So that's how it all lines up right now. This is a really good podcast. If you're bummed out about last night at all, well, this is going to snap you right back to feeling good. So one thing we're going to do is talk to Dave Henderson. If there's one thing that Hendu knows, it's about playing postseason September playoff chase baseball, because he's played a lot of it. It's really amazing when you look at the series he's played in. 1986, plays in the ALCS and World Series for the Boston Red Sox, of course, the Bill Buckner World Series. In 1988, plays in the World Series, first the ALCS for Oakland, and then the World Series against the Dodgers, the Kirk Gibson World Series. In 1989, he plays for the Oakland A's against the San Francisco Giants in the World Series. That was the Earthquake World Series. And then in 1990, plays in the World Series again against the Cincinnati Reds, Lou Piniella's Cincinnati Reds, who won the World Series. I mean, really amazing postseason career. And he was a postseason player. He hit some just monster home runs. Mammoth big-time home runs. He was always a tremendous postseason player. We're going to pick his brain about, you know, what it's like playing in September, what it's like for this Mariners team, you know, what kind of players thrive in September. I think it's a really good conversation. I think there's a lot there. Also, we're going to have him back at some point, too, to talk more about some of those epic series that he played in, specifics about Gibson and things like that, and Buckner and everything else. But it's pretty remarkable, just the baseball history he's been involved in. So Dave Henderson coming up. And I had this as a request, and I thought this was a really good one about a week ago. After I played the very first half inning of Mariners baseball, which I loved. I hope you did too, and many of you responded. And you can always respond, GaryHillPXP @gmail.com or @GaryHillJr. You can tweet me at any point. But a lot of you responded to that and really enjoyed it. So after that, I had a request of, why not play a half inning of playoff baseball? Oh, that was a great idea. So that's what we're going to have. We're going to have a half inning of playoff baseball. Dave Niehaus on the call. And it's great. Bottom of the seventh inning, Mariners-Yankees 1995. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's one half inning. So that comes up at the end of the podcast. I think you'll really enjoy it. So that's coming up. That's going to snap you right back. If you're bummed out about yesterday, that'll get you right back. That's good stuff. Wait till you hear it. So the Mariners fall to the Houston Astros, and this is how it lined up.
He was sharp early on in this ballgame.
Eliason with a sign, the windup, and the little left-hander delivers again. 1-2, swing, and a miss, and a fastball at 93, strike three. So Roenis Elias wins that battle, strikes out Robbie Grossman, and one away.
Yeah, sharp early on, strikes out the first batter, got into a little bit of a jam in the third inning, but then after leadoff double, but impressively pitched around it.
The 0-2, swing and a miss, cut right through it. Went after a curveball, and Elias gets out of the third. He strands VR 90 feet from home.
Got some help from his defense, too, in the fourth inning, and the defense on both sides was stellar all night.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball to short, way to his right, sprawling, stopped by Miller over to second, and they get the force on Carter. Holy smokes. What a play by shortstop Brad Miller, way to his right, reaching, getting to that ball and getting the throw to Cano in time to get Carter. What a play, two outs.
Yeah, in the fourth inning, the Astros would break through for the first run of the ball game.
The 1-1 pitch, swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Saunders going back, and this one is off the top of the wall, and it comes back. Around to third, now being waved in is Mariznick. Here's the throw to the plate, and it's not in time. Mariznick took his time getting to third. I think he thought the ball was gone, but he scores.
Yeah, he almost paid the price, too. He really almost got thrown out at home, but he scores. Astros have a 1-0 lead at that point. The Mariners in the fourth inning still looking for their first hit of the ballgame, and they would finally get it thanks to Austin Jackson.
Here is the pitch, swung on, ground ball to the hole in short, diving stop. VR gets up, throws the first, not in time to get the speedy Jackson. But what a play by Jonathan VR, diving way to his right, onto the grass in shallow left field. Gets up, fires a strike over to Singleton, but Austin Jackson hustling up the line, and the Mariners have their first hit tonight off of Colin McHugh.
First hit, but immediately gets erased on a 6-4-3 twin killing, and at that point, McHugh was just rolling right along, seemingly first pitch strikes automatically every time, facing the minimum through four. Speaking of Austin Jackson, he had a great day in center field for the Mariners.
Swing sends a high fly ball into deep left center field. Long run, Austin Jackson to the warning track. Reaches out and he makes the catch. Around second is Grossman. He's got a re-tag. He's heading back to first. The throw in gets on by the cutoff man. But holy smokes, what a great running catch by Austin Jackson. Way out there in left center field. He had a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Yeah, that was a fantastic play. He had a great day in center, a couple of nice catches down there, running down balls in the gaps. Really had a nice game defensively. In the sixth inning, things will get very interesting. Carter with a one-out walk. You get moved over on a Castro single. And then Singleton, a grounder to Morrison with two outs. He'd flip it to Elias, who'd get called safe. A run would score. It was 2-0 Astros, seemingly. But wait a second, instant replay.
Swinging a ground ball, raked right side. Morrison gloves low there. Now he turns directions, flip to Elias, cover at first base. It throws high. The runner safe, throw home. And the run scores. That's Carter all the way around from second. Well, that's pretty close. We might see a replay on this, a challenge. Singleton's foot, and here it comes. Here comes Lloyd. Headset's about to come off. Here's the ruling. He's out. He is out, and it stays 1-0. The call is overturned. Elias gets out of it.
If his spikes were just like an inch, even half an inch shorter, I think it would have been safe at first base. That was awfully close. But he was out, so the run gets pulled off the board. 1-0 Astros at that point. Carson Smith comes out of the bullpen, and wow, he was lights out.
Smith looking for his first major league strikeout. Going to go to Robbie Grossman. Two balls and two strikes. The wind, the pitch. Grossman takes strike three, called. A slider on the bottom rung of the strike zone. And there's the first major league punch out for Carson Smith.
Straight filth there from Carson Smith. He liked that strikeout so much, he picked up a couple more along the way as well, as he pitched very, very well in this one. And then the seventh inning, it was a long, long home run by Logan Morrison, who almost did property damage.
The 1-0 pitch, fastball, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, this ball game is tied. Goodbye, baseball. Off the ribbon board, right underneath the windows of the Hit It Here Cafe. Logan Morrison with his seventh home run of the season has just tied this ball game at 1-1. What a blast by Morrison.
Yeah, great stuff. Tied 1-1. Mariners, the momentum going into the ninth. Fans here feeling great, but the Astros would push one across.
The 1-1 pitch, swung on, ground ball right side, off the glove of a diving Cano into right center field. Singleton will score, and the Astros have the lead 2-1. Down to second goes Dominguez. Jonathan Villar with an RBI single with two outs.
Two runs on the board for Houston. Brad Miller would put a charge into one in the ninth inning to dead center field, but Mariners turned away 1-2-3, and that was the ball game. They lose 2-1 to the Houston Astros. This one is even.
And after the game, Lloyd McClendon summed it up. Now, Colin McHugh has been outstanding his last eight starts, and you can make it nine now because he was great last night.
Well, he's been tough on a lot of people lately. He's been throwing the ball extremely well, and today was no different. I thought he had a pretty darn good cutter in on left-handers. Breaking ball was sharp, threw some decent changeups. He pitched pretty good. He's one of the better pitch games of the year.
Elias was pretty good, too, Max.
Yes, he was. Made one mistake, fastball to Singleton, got it up. But other than that, he threw the ball pretty good.
Yeah, only gave up one run. I thought he pitched really well. Did his job, kept the Mariners in it, handed it to the bullpen, but not enough as the Mariners fall 2-1. Logan Morrison, who smashed the giant home run, he summed up things pretty well.
He did a great job of spotting up. Didn't miss much location-wise. We had a lot of lefties in there, and I think that cutter is really effective on lefties. Looks like it's going to be in one spot, and then when you go to swing, it's all over you. So, that was difficult. Curveball kept you off balance. You couldn't just look hard in because you could throw a backdoor curveball at any time. And I think he threw Seager some good changeups. I didn't see one, but he was effective at attacking weaknesses and keeping the ball down, elevating when he had to, and changing speeds. He threw three pitches for strikes, and couldn't really zone in on them.
Did you count the fastball?
Yeah. It was just a pitch that was middle, and I was looking in hard there and trying to put the barrel to it, and was able to get it. It's a good feeling, and got to go back tomorrow and do it again.
Did you guys kind of feel like you had taken momentum at that point?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was one of the biggest home runs I've ever had in my career. You could definitely feel the bench, being like, all right, here we go again, we're going to come back. So it's good that we have that feeling. It's been a lot better than being like, well, that's just a tie game, we're going to give it up again, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's I like where we're at, and, it was a tough loss, but shoot, that's why we play 162.
Why you play 162 and why you bounce back today to take on the Houston Astros again tonight. Hisashi Iwakuma on the hill going against a pitcher making his major league debut. 7:10, first pitch, 6 o'clock for the pregame show. Big one tonight, big one, as the Mariners try and take the series against the Houston Astros and keep the big mo going into the weekend against the Oakland A's. And September, of course, is big. We're going to talk to Dave Henderson now about what it means to be playing in September baseball. Here's a guy that, 141 postseason plate appearances, 298 lifetime playoff hitter, 7 career home runs in the postseason, and some really big ones along the way, including Game 7 of a World Series, which is remarkable. Here's Hendu talking about what it's like for these guys playing in September.
Well, it's totally different because everything is magnified, and in April, May, June, July, you can always get away with mistakes, and people shrug their shoulders and say, okay, it's okay, we'll get them next time. But when you get into September and you only have a one-game lead or you're down by a game, those mistakes get magnified, your manager goes nuts, your teammates goes nuts, and so it's totally tense, and the whole process is how do you control your emotions. And that's what it's all about. The game's the same, but it's notched up 1,000 degrees.
A lot of these Mariners, younger players, in this for the first time. How much does it help to have a guy like Robinson Cano in the clubhouse who's obviously been there before?
I think it's more important that they see how he plays, how he reacts to different situations and things like that, because Cano is so cool that he reminds everybody that it's still a baseball game. And because everybody has to do interviews and there's 50 more reporters and cameras around, but on the field in between the lines, the players look at him and say, wow, he's just playing baseball. And so it puts everybody else at ease.
You had some big postseason moments in your career. Do you have a favorite of everything you did?
A favorite. I think, of course, every kid, when you're 5 years old, you're in your backyard. You say you hit a home run, you know, seventh game of the World Series to win it. We've all done that. And I like to say I've done that in front of
you've actually done that
in front of the world. So at 5 years old, I've done it. And, you know, at 30 years old, I've done it in real life. So I think that's my favorite. The seventh game of the World Series, hitting a home run for us to win it.
What made you such a good postseason player?
I think it's my football mentality. I've always been a football player, and I think people don't understand fourth quarter mentality of a football player. And I've always been a leader of the defense. And when you're on the 3 yard line, you can't let that offense score, and you're hurt, you're beaten down. Kind of like in September, you got nicks, and you know everybody's hurt. You still got to find something deep inside you to crank it up. And that's fourth quarter mentality, and I've always had that. That's why I always thought I had an advantage over baseball players. I've always been a football player.
What about this Mariners team heading down the stretch? They're in it with the Royals, the Tigers, the A's, everyone else. How do you map out this scenario and where the Mariners fit in it?
Oh, I love it because they have an advantage because they always have the pitching and the bullpen. But it all boils down to how players react under the stress and the tension of everything and who can relax the most. And I've always had that gene where I can focus on what's in front of me and what's going on, okay, not linger on what happened. Yeah. And that's what makes good postseason players. And you've got to be, focused, one-minded, and see what you're doing that day and control everything.
I mean, you've observed a lot of players in postseason. Is that something that can be learned over time? Is that innate? I mean, how does that develop?
I think other players can help you with it, but it's something in you. Uh-huh. I know that the stat guys love stats, but all that stuff goes out the window in postseason time because I've seen guys have 40 home runs a year that bomb in the postseason. And it's just the mentality of the player and how he can control his emotions.
Who are some of the other guys that you think about in terms of great postseason players? Who really sticks out when you think about that?
Well, some of my teammates, Dave Stewart, and the pitcher, of course, and, Don Baylor, he had a string of 8 years in a row or something, you know, postseason World Series and things like that. It's just their mentality, and I think they're a lot like me. They put things in perspective. It's easy to do if you've got your head in the right place.
Is it easier the more times you've been there? Does it get any easier, or is it the same emotions, same butterflies, same everything?
Well, it's okay to have butterflies. It's okay to get nervous. It's how you handle it, right? I mean, everybody gets nervous. Everybody gets butterflies. It's just the players that can control it and handle it do the best. And I've seen players, some of the greatest players in the game, you know, panic during postseason play and, you know, when the game's on the line and things like that. And as if you're a player on that team, you really notice it, how they react differently. Fans just see them not perform, but we know who can play under those conditions, who can't.
The season is such a marathon. You report to spring training in February, go all the way through the year, I mean, day after day, inning after inning. What is it like to finish it off with a world championship?
I think that's the ultimate because you know all the work and sweat and, you know, the broken bones that you put in to get to that, late October day. And just to win it all, it's a relief mainly, but it's such a joy because as a kid, you want to play professional baseball, and then you want to be an all-star, and then you want to be a world champion. And then once you get that ring, it is bragging rights.
Is it sweeter to win, or is it tougher to take the loss in circumstances like that?
Well, in my circumstances, I've lost three World Series, and I think I remember the losses a lot more than the wins. But when I'm around a lot of Hall of Famers and guys like that that don't have a ring, I can brag.
And now we're going to turn things over to Dave Niehaus. I hope you enjoy this. This is fun. So here it is, Mariners, Yankees. I'll let Dave Niehaus set the scene. Here you go. Here's Dave.
The decibels are rising. As they look down the left field line, they see a guy that wears number 51, 6 feet 10 inches tall, Randy Johnson. Get up and start to warm up for the Mariners here. And the Mariners down by two, hoping that they can somehow, some way pull this one out. For 57,411 here watching and millions of you listening along the Seattle Mariners radio network. Joey Cora, a home run in the third inning. David Cone is winding the pitch on the way to Cora. Ball a little bit outside. One ball and no strikes. And the fans still won't sit down. They have great hope and great belief that Seattle can come back. The 1-0 pitch to Joey Cora, and it's high, ball two, two balls and no strikes. After Cora, you get to Junior, and then you get to Edgar, and then you get to Tino, so this is by far the biggest inning for David Cone. The 2-0 pitch to Joey Cora, and that's taken for a strike in the count 2-1. Joy, that practice pendulum swing, waits, and the 2-1 pitch to him now swung on and hit deep but foul down the right field line. In that sixth inning, when the Yankees scored their two, and when Mattingly doubled to drive in their two, if you had never been in a place with 57,000 fans and could hear a mouse squeak, you weren't here. You could have heard it. Two balls and two strikes on Joey Cora. The 2-2 pitch on the way, swung on, and a high fly ball popped up to right field. Paul O'Neill is right there, and he will make the catch, one out. And that will bring up Junior. But certainly David Cone is happy to face Junior in this spot with nobody on and a two-run lead, and with Cora aboard. Junior does not represent the tying run. Junior against David Cone so far has gone 0-for-3. There has not been a Mariner thrown out by an infielder in this ballgame. There's been a force play at second base. That's when Mike Blowers hit a ground ball to Fernandez, but that was at second base. There has not been a man thrown out by the New York Yankee infielders. Here comes the wind and the pitch to Ken Griffey Jr. And that breaking ball is down low, ball one. One ball and no strikes. That's how domineering David Cone has been. He has struck out nine. And he has not walked a man. The 1-0 pitch on the way to Jr. Swung on and Nelson. That's going to be in the upper deck. Fly away. Ken Jr. just missed the upper deck. It got way back into the second deck. And Ken Griffey Jr. has hit his third home run against David Cone in this series. And the Mariners are back by one. It's now 4-3. And Ken Griffey Jr. stands all alone. Five home runs in postseason play. And he is tied with Reggie Jackson, who hit five home runs in the 1977 World Series. This, in divisional and postseason, just getting to the World Series, now belongs to Junior.
Yeah, Bob Robertson of the Pirates had four home runs. The Hackman, Jeffrey Leonard, had four back in 1987 for the Giants. Junior now with five.
And here's Edgar. And Edgar takes a slider strike on the outside corner, 0-1. Still nobody up and throwing in the bullpen for the New York Yankees. It is 4-3 in favor of New York. The wind, the pitch to Edgar Martinez. Ground ball back up the middle. Moving over there is Fernandez. Tony off-balance throw has got him. And Edgar is out at first base, so two away. And now Tino will be looking for the long ball. Martinez. Ken Griffey Jr. with five home runs in this five-game playoff series. And he has three of them off David Cone. Soltino up there looking for the pump right now. It's 4-3 New York. And Cone into his wind, and not quite. Now David is set to go. The wind and the pitch on the way to Tino, and that's taken down low. Ball one, one ball and no strikes. Bill Risley is throwing in the pen. Randy Johnson is standing down there, hands on his hips. The 1-0 pitch on the way to Tino bounces up to the plate. Two balls and no strikes, and Jay Buhner is due next. Now the right-hander ready. And coming in with a dangerous pitch to Tino Martinez, the 2-0, and it is outside. Ball three, three balls and no strikes. As tense, tight, as nervous a ball game one more time as you can get here. In game five, one-run lead New York, 3-0 on Tino Martinez in the 3-0 pitch, and it's taken for a strike, and he threw him a breaking ball at that. 3-0. A little slider on the outside corner. And the wind. The 3-1 pitch to Tino. That's low and outside. Ball four. And it'll bring Bone to the plate. Jay Buhner will pause for station identification on the Seattle Mariners radio network. So Buhner is up there now. And Jay against Cone has an RBI single. The other two times he has fanned. He had the RBI single in the fourth. He struck out in the second swinging. He struck out in the sixth swinging. Two outs. Tying run at first base. Go-ahead run. Buhner at the plate. 4-3 New York as Cone goes to his stretch. Here comes the pitch on the way to Jay Buhner now. And it's a breaking ball way outside. Ball one. One ball and no strikes. A right-hander gets up. It looks like it's Mariano Rivera. The only man in the pen that's really been effective for New York in this series. Rivera, and he gets up and starts to throw. And now the right-hander Cone set. The 1-0 pitch on the way to Jay, and he lays off the breaking ball. They make the appeal, and it's denied by Dan Morrison, 2-0. And you know Buhner is looking for a pitch in his zone to drive out of here and send this crowd into an absolute frenzy, as if they already are not. They're a mock right now. Here comes the stretch. The 2-0 pitch to Jay Buhner on the way from David Cone, and it's a check swing. Did he go? He did, according to Dan Morrison. Jim Evans, the home plate umpire, made the appeal, and Morrison said that Jay Buhner did offer that time. Mighty, mighty close. 2-1 on Buhner. And again, the Martinez lead at first base, not a big one. Cone is stretch. And the 2-1 on the way to Buhner. Swung on, line drive, base hit right center field. Bernie Williams will stop it in right center field, and the Mariners have the tying run in scoring position. Tino Martinez at second base. And that just got over the glove of Velarde at second base. Buhner has his second hit. And Felix Fermin is due up, and Alex Diaz is coming out on deck to pinch hit for Felix Fermin. So the Mariners, with the tying run in scoring position, Buhner the go-ahead run at first base, but two away here in the eighth inning. Switch hitting Alex Diaz. Is 2-for-8 against David Cone.
That base hit by Jay Buhner just eluded the glove of second baseman Randy Velarde. Back on August the 24th, Joey Cora hit a line drive that just eluded the glove of shortstop Tony Fernandez. That gave Ken Griffey Jr. a chance to win that ball game. Junior came through in the clutch with that game-winning home run
in the bottom of the ninth inning. Jay Buhner keeps this rally going. He keeps the fans in this ball game, and now the Mariners have the tying run in scoring position, the go-ahead run over at first base.
Nardi Contreras, the Yankee pitching coach, out to the mound to find out how much is left in that tank. I'm David Cohen, and also perhaps going over what the book says as far as pitching to Alex Diaz says. And Contreras leaves. David Cohn is exactly where he was when he worked the eight innings in game one. 135 pitches into this ballgame. And here comes little Alex Diaz. Diaz rubbing some dirt between those palms and slowly will step up to the plate. It'll take a good base hit to score Tino Martinez from second base. A hard line drive to right field probably won't do it. See if he can find a gap here somewhere. Alex 1-for-3 in this playoff series. The stretch by Cohn. The pitch to Alex Diaz on the way, and the breaking ball is low. Ball one. One ball and no strikes, and Dan Wilson is on deck. Lou Piniella comes out and calls time for a second. And I don't know what it was about.
He may want a pinch runner at second base.
Lou has not made his choice as yet, as he has gone back into the dugout and the cameras aren't on him. So he's going down the line as if he's inspecting the troops.
Yeah.
Who do I have left here? Who do I have left? He's got Rich Amaral left.
Alex Rodriguez.
He's got Alex Rodriguez, the 20-year-old kid who can run like a deer, and Alex Rodriguez is going to go in and run at second base for Tino Martinez. So Alex Rodriguez makes his first appearance in this playoff series as a pinch runner. Tino Martinez at second base, and we'll see if the old fox has pulled another one out of the hat here as Alex Diaz has taken the ball inside. And now the veteran right-hander goes to his stretch. The 1-0 pitch on the way to Alex Diaz, and it's down low, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. And Diaz should get a pitch to hit.
Alex had three home runs during the season. His last one was a pinch hit, three-run home run, batting from the right side.
First time he'd had a home run from the right side. Measuring the plate, Alex Diaz and David Cohn working on fumes now goes to his stretch. The 2-0 pitch on the way to Alex, and a swing and a miss, and he was looking for a long ball. He went down to his knees. And the count 2-1, good breaking ball that time from David Cohn. Cohn, the look of all business on his face as he stares into Stanley to get the sign. And now he goes to his stretch. Here comes the 2-1 on the way to Alex Diaz, and this time it's down low and it bounces up to the plate, ball three. Three balls and a strike. Cohn kicking at the dirt on the front slope of the mound, trying to keep his mark here at the Kingdom impeccable. He is 4-0 here in Seattle. Wants an exchange of baseballs and gets one from home plate umpire Jim Evans. Diaz will be swinging here if he gets a pitch to hit. Cohn's got to come in or load him up. And now the right-hander is set. The 3-1 pitch on the way to Alex Diaz, and it's a high breaking ball, ball four, and the Mariners have the bases loaded. And Dan Wilson, looking over toward the dugout, he is going to be called back, and we're going to have Doug Strange come up and pinch hit for Dan Wilson as Lou Piniella tries to push the right buttons as he has all year long and get a clutch hit out of Doug Strange, who had that big three-run home run in that wild, wild ball game against Oakland.
And Doug Strange did a great job coming off the bench all season long as a pinch hitter. He was 10 for 32 with one home run and seven RBIs. That home run came against his former teammates, the Texas Rangers.
That's right, Texas.
A pinch hit, two-run home run that tied the ball game at 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Junior then got that base hit in the bottom of the 11th inning to win the game 5-4. Doug Strange off the bench, a left-handed bat against the right-hander David Cone.
0-for-3 in this series. Dave, as a pinch hitter, 394 during the season.
Dave, what have we said all year long about when you have a runner at third base with one or less outs? It's easier to get a fly ball if you think center field the other way.
Well, there are two outs here. Fly ball won't do it.
Well, you got to take him back up the middle. You got a better chance that way.
And the pitch on the way to Strange, swing and a miss on a breaking ball in the dirt that time. The Mariners with the bases loaded. In a one-run ball game, Junior has got them one back. Alex Rodriguez at third. Jay Buhner out at second. Alex Diaz at first. The one strike pitch. And that's outside and low, and the count is even at a ball and a strike. Mariano Rivera is standing on the bullpen mound. He is not throwing at the present time for New York. Randy Johnson standing on the bullpen mound down the left field line. Here comes the stretch. And the 1-1 pitch on the way to Doug Strange. That's low and inside, ball two, 2-1. Keep in mind, the only two walks in this ball game given up by Cone have come here in the eighth inning. As he is slowly getting that indicator into the red on his dashboard. He has thrown 142 pitches. And David Cone is set now. The 2-1 pitch to Doug Strange, and it's high, ball three, 3-1. Strange may make him throw a strike here, because another out of the strike zone, we've got a tie ball game. Cone is out of gas. Time call by Tony Fernandez, the shortstop. He wants to come in and say something to Cone. And also, while time is called, Sam Perlazzo wants to tell Doug Strange something. They have a meeting. 4-3 New York. You know, you see these games, game after game, they can't get any more exciting, and yet they do. It's amazing. 3-1 on Doug Strange. The place exploding. Here is the stretch by Cone. And the 3-1 pitch to Doug Strange now, and it's taken for a strike. 3-2, and we've gone as far as we can go in this right now. Two outs, the bases loaded. Everybody runs, a one-run lead for New York. This is the action pitch. It all happens here, the stretch. The Mariner runners go, the 3-2 pitch to Strange in the dirt, and we are tied. He walks Doug Strange.